Yes, pastors, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm kind of calling out of a personal nature, but I'm sure it can apply to a lot of people. I'm looking at the verse 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have three sons. They all have accepted Christ. They are true Christ followers. I raised them Christian, but of course they did eventually all come to Christ at different times in their life. They're all adults now, and one is with the Lord. What the question is, they all struggle with mental illness. It seems to be a familial or genetic thing with my boys, unfortunately so. And my question is, in the Greek or even in the Hebrew, what does it mean to have a sound mind? Because there are many times because of their illness, and I know it can apply to people with dementia and everything else that have a mental illness. How does that play into the verse? Because they do love the Lord, but there is many times, unfortunately, medication can only help so much, that they have breaks, they go into the hospital very ill, and they don't have a sound mind, and they do have very much a spirit of fear. And I'm just trying to wrap my head around what a sound mind actually is, because there are many times, even though they walk with the Lord, and from what I can tell, they're trying to live their lives the best they can to be a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You don't have the sound mind. And when you don't have a sound mind, you have a spirit of fear. They're very fearful. Mm-hmm. They hear voices. They see things that are very scary. My one son told me that he actually could hear Jesus' voice and the demons' voices. Mm. He's not demon-possessed, but he does have those thoughts.
Yeah, Dave, what would you say to Kim?
Well, Kim, the word there that's translated sound mind, sophronismos, mm-hmm. in the Greek, is a word that doesn't have anything to do with your mental state. It's a word that means self-control. And mm-hmm. you know, when you're reading it doesn't mean that because you have God, you always have self-control. Obviously, that's not the case, and the Scriptures talk to us about how important it is for us to work on that and develop it. But, you know, what he's saying, the Spirit of God isn't what's making us afraid, and it isn't what's right. causing us to lose control or to not love. And so, and power, dunamis, the ability to get things done. So all he's really saying is the Holy Spirit doesn't give us the ability to lose control. But that doesn't mean that automatically someone will always have self-discipline. They just shouldn't see God in it. And, I mean, mental illness is a very real thing, and it's easier for people to talk about it who haven't experienced it. And I meet people all the time who, you know, say that, you know, they were mentally ill and then God delivered them from it. But then I talk to them a while and it's like, meh. Still need a little work on that. Mental illness is personally, my father was schizophrenic, in and out of mental hospitals for years. My sister, schizophrenic. My brother was schizophrenic. And at the same time, in the cases certainly of my father and my brother, they loved the Lord. They were Christians. They were so committed to Christ. I mean, my dad, like, had me reading the Bible constantly from when I was 2 years old and memorizing it. And he'd take me out on the streets and have me preach the gospel. Everything within him wanted people to come to Jesus. And he was crazy. He heard voices and he thought things that weren't true. And the same thing with my brother up until the point last year when he took his own life. He loved God. He wanted to be with the Lord. It's probably part of why he finally ended the struggle. But at the same time, I would never say God made him that way. But the fact that God doesn't give us, you know, fear, but he gives us the ability to get things done. He gives us love, and he gives us the ability to have discipline, doesn't crowd out all of the other things that might be ours as a result of living in a fallen world. And so, but I think when it comes to self-control or discipline, especially people who are mentally ill need to learn that their choices have consequences. And so I would never tell them, God has given you a sound mind, but I would say you need to learn to make the kind of choices that are going to give you the best results that God wants you to have. And I believe that the Spirit of God can help people do that. And I know plenty of people who are mentally ill who understand that, who accept it, and who make good choices in light of that. But they have to do it. They have to make those choices. And we should really honor people who struggle with mental illness, and yet they continue to do the things that are productive. They continue to walk with the Lord, and they see illness for what it is. Too often, the church has tried to offer simplistic answers to really complicated problems, and it ends up making it worse. And we also don't, there are things that we just toss out there that we don't really think of them literally, but somebody who's mentally ill may hear it and believe, like if you're going, you know, God spoke to me this and that, a lot of times we don't really mean, well, he literally spoke to me. It's just, I had this idea and I think maybe it was from the Holy Spirit. But somebody who's delusional of some sort, then they think that every idea that comes into their head must be God speaking to them directly, and they can believe it the way they believe the Bible. And so I think we need to be careful because we can do a lot of damage with some of our, you know, simplistic ways of describing things. We need to understand, and it behooves all of us to have more of an awareness of the mentally ill around us to help them to live a life of discipline, to help them to make good choices, to say, I know you think that, I know you may hear that, I know this is much harder for you than it is for someone else, but look, mental illness or not, if you make better choices, your life's going to be better than it'll be if you make worse choices, even though your life's not going to be perfect. No one's life is perfect. But to me, the scripture should tell someone who's struggling with their mind, with their thought processes, to say, how can I pull this under control and make the best choices that I can make? And God's Spirit is there to help you. And I mean, I know plenty of people who dedicated Christians, but whose minds were messed up. And, you know, a lot of them sadly end up taking their own life because they can't pull together what they're experiencing and what Christians are telling them all the time. And we need to let people know, it's, if you're mentally ill, it's okay. We're all a little bit crazy in different ways. I mean, we all go through times. If you think that, oh, mental illness is just something that couldn't affect me, then think about the last few dreams that you've had and realize your brain made that story up. And so you realize we're all just a degree away from delusionalism. And so to recognize that, it's why we so need to stay faithful to the scriptures and just go, I'm going to do what God's word is telling me to do, and I'm going to make choices that seem to help along those lines, that I don't want to do things that make people not want to hang around with me. I want to do things that help me to fit in with other people. And it's amazing, too, that if you're struggling with mental illness, if you find a good group of Christians who aren't freaked out by that, and you can tell them, hey, sometimes I think this, but I understand that's not reality. I'm clear on that. I'm trying to be treated best I can. A lot of times those people will accept you and go, okay, I understand that. And it wasn't a Christian movie, but A Beautiful Mind did a great job of describing what schizophrenia is like from the inside. And ultimately in that case, and it was a true story, but he ultimately had to realize, I'm still going to see those imaginary people, but I know they're imaginary. And so sometimes we all have to get to the point where we go, okay, I can't make that go away, because trying to make something go away is like trying not to think of a pink elephant. It's just there, even more so. But to see it for what it is, and it's why it's just so important for us to stay in fellowship, connected with people who accept us the way that we are, and looking at the Word of God and going, hey, if I can share with other people, I know some people who struggle with their mental health, but Kai, they're there to help encourage other people. And it's like, that's the way you do it. But yeah, we should never act like, you know, oh, if they were a Christian, they would have a sound mind, because that isn't what that means at all. It just means that if you're following him, you'll learn to apply discipline to the decisions that you make in life.
And how horrible that would be for someone to see someone who's got this mental illness and say, well, they must not be a Christian because they have this. So, I mean, but that's how people think sometimes.
Oh, and you see, people will try to rebuke them in the name of Jesus and cast demons out of them and everything else, rather than admit the obvious.
Yeah. Kim, thank you for your phone call today on Pastor's Perspective. We've got to take a break now, and then we'll be back with more of your questions. 888-564-6173 is the number. Grab an open line. We are here for 30 more minutes on this Friday afternoon. 888-564-6173.